Welcome to Power Through Marketing, where entrepreneur, consultant, and author Ron Patel shares his insights about how to enhance your small business through efficient and effective marketing. And now, here's your host, Ron Patel.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Power Through Marketing. I'm your host, Ron Patel, here to talk to you today about all things social media and also who is your bullseye. So often I will meet an entrepreneur and I'll ask them who you're targeting your product or your service at. And 9 times out of 10, the answer is everyone. It's everyone can use my product. Or a realtor will say that anyone who wants to buy a house, or a personal trainer will say anyone that wants to have a good workout or lose weight. I believe this is a symptom of entrepreneurialism that derives from the entrepreneur's perception that if they don't make their product or service available for everyone on the planet, that we might lose a sale. And this is just absolutely not true. And the point I want to make is if you narrow down who you're targeting your marketing to, your success will be much greater. There's a very successful entrepreneur by the name of Bill Glazer, and there's a famous quote from him saying, when you were selling to everybody, you were selling to nobody. Think about that. Now, while your product or service may be utilized by everybody, it doesn't mean that you're going to be more successful by targeting everybody. Really think of who is that perfect client. So think of that perfect client. Think of the one that's just a joy to deal with. Every time you do business with them, you say, I wish all my customers were like him or her. They're low risk, high reward clients. Find out as much as you can about them. Find out how you can find more people that are just like them. When you're attending networking events, from relationships with people, and when they ask how they can help you, tell them you're looking for these kinds of people, whether it's women that working in the service industry or men that are financial advisors, whatever target market you're going after. When you specify the people that you're looking for at an event, it's a lot easier for other people to refer you to that person or say, oh, I should introduce you to Bill so-and-so. I always like to tell this story of a longtime customer of my food delivery service, or let's just call her Kate. She worked for a large pharmaceutical company, and she would order catering from her office, to an office, to a doctor's office, 2 to 3 times a week. The way I caught a hold of Kate, the way I got her to become a customer, was really just by going out and finding out where pharmaceutical reps hung out. I'd heard that they ordered lots of food. I ran a food delivery business. So I started going out to doctor's offices and realizing, and I came up with a very unofficial term that was the law of the ologies. And I didn't know anything about medicine, but what I did know is if the doctor's office ended with the term ology, is that it was a specialist office. So cardiologists focus on hearts, oncologists were cancer doctors. They were a specialist in some area, and then when you're a specialist, you're the one that the other doctors refer the patient to, which means you're going to prescribe a drug to help with that specialty. Now, if you're providing a prescription of a drug and you're prescribing the drug to the customer or to the patient, then there's a sales rep, which is the pharmaceutical sales rep, who is selling that drug to your office. So I like to jokingly call them legalized drug dealers, because pharmaceutical sales reps, that's what they do, is they are trying to convince a doctor why they should prescribe a certain drug to this patient. So what I found out through research and going online and finding out, trying to get in the mind, trying to get into the head of a pharmaceutical sales rep, is that a lot of the times they had a frustrating job and they got treated like caterers. I found a blog online called Cafe Pharma. It was more of a forum where people that were all pharmaceutical reps would go on and talk about their jobs and the challenges. So I learned the lingo. I learned the language. And then I went out to these offices and I tried to find them. And pharmaceutical reps don't work out of a regular office. They're all mobile, usually work out of their home. So you can't just pop in on them. So I would go to these hospitals and specialty clinics and look for the well-dressed man or woman in a suit or nice dress. They usually had a name tag and they were lugging pads and pens in their suitcase. So I started just approaching them in the hospital. That seemed a little over the top, almost like I was stalking them, because I'd run right out to them and say, hey, we deliver food. Here's the menu. You should order from us. So what I found was it was better to go directly to the offices. I'll never forget one time going to this office and finding out, hey, you know, I heard a lot of pharmaceutical reps come through here. How could I get in touch with them? Well, the woman behind the counter said, well, look, they all dropped their business cards off, and I've got them in this folder right here. And she showed me this folder full of business cards of pharmaceutical reps. So made a deal with her to buy her lunch for the next couple weeks, a little food bribery. And she made photocopies of the business card book. And then what I did is I picked up the phone and started smiling and dialing. And my second call, I think, was to Kate, who I mentioned earlier. Left her a voicemail saying who I was and what we did. She called me back saying, I really like the way you left that voicemail. I'm in sales too. I love that you're hungry for business. I'll give you a shot. And from then on, it was awesome. And she ordered so many times. Her partner started ordering. She had a partner in another specialty. And then her fiance was also a pharmaceutical rep too. It just led to a ton more business. But there were so many different times when we got orders from Kate or someone that was involved with Kate that really just came about because I had taken the time to focus on my bullseye. I'd taken the time to look at who the ideal client was, the low risk, high reward client that yields profits and growth for your business. So figure out how you can do that in your business. Maybe you don't need to be a stalker like I did, but I'm sure you can figure out that way. So our guest today is Pam Meyer. She's from Pam Meyer's social media. She's done a really good job in targeting a couple different types of businesses that she's familiar with in growing her business. So let's go right to the interview. Okay, and on the line today we have Pam Meyers from Pam Meyers Social Media. Pam, how are you today?
I'm awesome, Ron. How are you?
I am wonderful. I love talking social media. I love talking Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even the stuff that I don't get, like the Snapchat and the other stuff. So I love talking about the stuff. So excited to have you here.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
So tell me, just what's the story? How did you get started doing social media for your clients?
It started just by accident. You know, I think you're aware I used to have a event planning company and decorating company in Dallas for 25 years, mm-hmm. and learned a lot about marketing. My company was very successful. I was one of the top companies in Dallas for half of my career there. And so I learned a lot. So then moving here, I didn't want to reinvent the same thing. I wanted to do something different. And marketing, I have a degree in marketing, and it's always been a thing of mine. And so social media is one piece of the pie that I don't think is really enough businesses tap into. Every time I hear a radio advertisement, I think, well, why are you not on social media? Because I know you're not. So, I mean, that's kind of just how it happened. I just jumped into it and gathering a couple of real estate clients as my first one to, you know, did a lot of training. I've learned a tremendous amount, which, you know, thank heavens I will always continue to learn. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I mean, so social media is one of these things, right? Everyone knows that they have to be doing it, but usually it's you know, me doing a post for my business, or we've got one of our employees over here that's doing the posts for our business. So talk a little bit about that. I mean, we all know we should be doing it, but then we all get we all think that we need to be cheap about it, or we shouldn't pay someone to do it. So tell us about that. What's that dynamic that a business owner goes through when they're figuring out their social media?
Just like you said, that is absolutely so common. Many businesses know they need it, and they might try and post themselves, thinking, "Oh, you know, I'm going to make a post of, you know, I'm out at a meeting and I'm with Tom and Jane, and or I'm on my way to an appointment, or I'm out having dinner someplace." Those are not marketing posts. And hiring somebody in-house can be all well and good as a starting point, but ultimately that's not true social media marketing, because those people are not trained to make very specific kinds of posts that engage your audience.
And are strategic, right?
So it's very strategic. They're very, very specific. You're not just making random posts about what you're doing. That is totally not the deal. You want to be, again, educating and engaging in order to continue to retain their interest and to grow your market.
You know, I think you just gave me one of my like aha light bulb moments. There's two types of posts, isn't there? There's a social media post, and then there's a social media marketing post. And the social media marketing post is intentional, strategic, and there for a purpose. And a social media post, anybody can do. Just because we can do it doesn't mean we should do it, I think is kind of what you're saying, right?
Well, exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly. There's, I see this. Okay, I just lost my train of thought. We might need to go back and start that one again.
No problem. Start again.
Can you repeat that question one more time?
Certainly. All right, David, we'll cut the last 20 seconds, and we're going to pick up again right here with this question. So I think what you're saying is just because somebody can post it doesn't mean that they should post it, right?
Oh, my goodness. That's absolutely true. Another thing I think that people often have issues with is making, like, they'll make personal commentary or political commentary or a religious comment or reference. You don't want to do that on your social media because you never know who's going to be reading it and what their point of view is. And from a marketing standpoint, you don't really care. You just want to engage and gain and increase. So you want to be very careful about doing that kind of thing. I'm not quite sure if I answered your question. But.
No, you did. That's great. Let's talk a little bit more about how you're able to market to clients or to prospects, sorry, and turn them into clients. I know you're really good at this really kind of conversational piece and then guiding them to showing how you can help and grow their business. Mm-hmm. Tell me a bit more about that.
Okay, so we all know that social media is just one small piece of the whole marketing puzzle, and you want to do a number of different things. Like I can post out there to gain attention for my business, but then I also want to get out and network, and I can go out there and I can network and I can meet people, but then following up and creating a relationship with them, that is the biggest piece of the puzzle. And you really have to hit all of those points in order to, you know, gain somebody's confidence. The world is full of people trying to sell you something, right? When I, you know, first started doing this and started doing research, I mean, you can get flooded with marketing people out there. And so how do you win the confidence of your client that they're going to completely count on you to represent them in their words? And that's kind of just takes a little bit of work, and you have to really know who your client is, which developing that relationship is a big part of that puzzle.
I'm glad you said that. So who is your client? Who is a client of PAMA or social media?
Well, I have many different types of clients, but I do have two very specific niches. One niche is our real estate agents, and the other one is people in the event industry. The event industry encompasses a large genre, so to break that down a little bit further, it would be people in the entertainment business, wedding or event planners and decorators, that kind of thing. So those are my primary clients.
And it's an industry you know because that's where you came from.
Correct.
And then realtors, you said, were your first types of clients. So those are the ones you really learned how to do social media for right out the gate, right?
Correct, yes. I used to have my real estate license in Connecticut more years ago than I want to count. and so that gives me some insights into that, and it makes it easier for me and I to represent my client because I know what they are, I know what their clients are looking for. So that's, to me, very helpful.
Yep, absolutely. So what are the most common mistakes that a business owner makes when they're trying to do everything themselves social media-wise? What are some of the things that we need to stop doing before we then come over and talk to you?
Holy cow, that would be look at what you're posting. I understand that hiring somebody to do it in-house is a lot less expensive, but again, they're just posting. They're not marketing for you. And that's a huge difference. It's like night and day. I you know, talk to people all the time. Oh, I'm using somebody in-house and I'm looking at their social media and there's no consistency with the posts. It's constantly, they're constantly putting out flat images or posts that don't engage you in any way. It just kind of like, you know, says, you know, some good words of the day or something. That's not really grabbing. It might be one good feel good piece, but it's not going to really grab and retain your audience.
It's almost posting for the sake of posting, isn't it?
Well, exactly. And like in the very beginning, you really need to, social media marketing is not just posting. It's so much more than that. You really need to ideally hire a professional that knows what they're doing.
Gotcha. Very cool. So look, if there was a piece of advice, a piece of marketing advice you can give to all the listeners out there, what is that piece of advice you would give?
I think the biggest thing that we all make the mistake of is we all get so busy doing our jobs that we're so busy doing our jobs. We're not focusing on growing our business. And so I think the key to good marketing is setting time aside to work on your business instead of in your business. And that can just be a few hours a week, but it's integral to growing. And then hire somebody, hire a professional, just like you'd go to a dentist or you'd go to a psychotherapist, hire a professional marketing person, whether you're doing it for overall marketing or you just want to focus on social media, whatever your goal is, hire a professional because you're going to achieve, you're going to see much greater, faster results than you would just trying to do it yourself.
I love
That's my biggest piece of advice.
I love it, being able to work on your business and not in your business. I'm quite certain we've said that before.
Yeah.
if people wanted to talk to you a little further about what you do and maybe some of the value they can bring to you can bring to them, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
They can reach me at Pam@PamMeyers.com, and that's Pamm@PamMeyers.com is my email address, or my phone number is 214-326-3286. You can also Google my name, Pam, Pamm Meyers, and I come up all over the place on Google.
Awesome.
Or on the
platform. And then what if they want to look at you on social media? Where are they going?
They can go to Facebook, they can go to Instagram, they can go to Twitter. Those are the primary platforms that I use.
Perfect.
I mean, I work on all, but those are the primary.
Perfect. So this has been Pam Meyers, and the advice she has for you is don't forget to work on your business, not just in your business. Thanks for joining us, Pam, and hope you have a very profitable week this week.
Thank you, Ron. You too.
Thanks for listening to Power Through Marketing with Ron Patel. Remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or visit powercirclenm.com.